Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, health and nutrition awareness coach, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to redefine themselves and do it mind, body, and spirit. Okay, I am so glad you all are here today for this edition of the show. We are in season three, and if you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome, welcome. You are now part of the How Now podcast family. Go to www.hownowpodcast.com, and you can click on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and share. You can also scroll down to the bottom and click on the banner for this week's show, and it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. So you're always knowing what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show, where we're going to be bringing sexy back. Okay. I love it. I love it. We are going to be talking about sexual confidence. You know, we have been in this season of pandemic. You know, we have seen a lot of stressors. We have seen people making all kinds of pivots in their lives, in their businesses, and also in their relationships. We have seen people who have been in long-term relationships see their relationships end, unfortunately, and they are back on the scene, the dating scene again, after many, many years of being in, you know, what they thought was a solid relationship. We have some people who are just, you know, who are empty nesting and are now trying to rekindle some things in their relationships because they were so busy carrying out the roles in their relationships that they've lost a little bit of the spiciness in their relationships. We've seen all kinds of things happen. People who just don't feel sexy anymore because they're just too doggone tired. You know, there's a whole lot of things that are going on that affect us mentally and that can affect us, you know, when it comes to sexual ideologies and things that are going on. But to help me to go through a little bit of the weeds of sexual confidence and what it is and what it's all about is my lovely guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all. And I'm so excited for this episode. Yeah.
Yes.
So, hello, my name's Heather Tucker, and I'm a certified Christian sex coach with over 10 years of experience helping women and men overcome sexual shame, release their sexy confidence, and find empowerment in their lives and relationships. As a woman of faith, I believe that our sexuality is beautiful and sacred, and I believe it's a gift from God, and that it's our responsibility to steward this gift. And so through my work as a coach and a two-time best-selling author, I've had the honor of guiding women on this journey of sexual empowerment, helping them to break free from shame, overcome past traumas, and live their best lives. And so whether you're single or in a relationship, if you're struggling with body image issues, past traumas, inability to climax, sexlessness, or simply looking to deepen your connection with your partner, my coaching is designed to meet you where you are and help you move forward with faith, courage, and confidence. And so I am here to help you unlock your full potential and to help you embrace the beauty and power of your sexuality. And so thank you so much, Kim, for having me here today.
Absolutely.
And I know that God is going to bless us on our podcast journey together today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you are here. Again, welcome, welcome to the How Now podcast. We are glad, glad, glad you are here. Okay. So like I said, before we dive in, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you've been doing this for 10 years. We want to talk a little bit how things were going in your business or in, you know, some of the things that were going on you know, client-wise prior to the pandemic, and then kind of guide us into what happened once the pandemic hit. Was there a change in you know, the dynamic of your business at that point?
Well, because I've been doing this for 10 years, obviously I started way before the pandemic.
Right.
But there was a pandemic of infidelity and open relationships, polyamory, people questioning monogamy, people getting divorced because of them not really being in tune with their own sexuality and not knowing how to express what their needs are, what their desires are with their partner. No one's been trained for this, really.
Right.
If you think about it, all our sex ed was don't get pregnant, don't get AIDS, don't get, you know, whatever, like whatever. Right. So there was no pleasure that was shared with little boys and little girls so that we could know how to take that
right
to our adult relationship. So really, we've been not doing a great job already from a very young age. And most of our parents were uncomfortable with the sex conversation. Most of our pastors, our aunties, women group leaders in the church, I mean, they're just not comfortable. None of them have been trained. And so it's just been this awkward, embarrassing.
Right.
For so long. And that actually is what went into our relationship. I'm on my second marriage, have three boys, actually men, 26, 23, and 18. I'm a grandma. I've got a second grandchild on the way. She's due next month.
Congratulations.
I know, I'm so excited. But all of my growing up years, dating, first marriage, second marriage, because the sex conversation was so uncomfortable, that led us into 12 years of no sex in our marriage. And not understanding what happened to take it away and how to get it back.
Right.
So that happened way before the pandemic. But I do know that for other couples, the pandemic, because we were all forced together.
Right.
Some of these issues that we probably ignored for years in our relationships, now we couldn't ignore them because they're in our face.
Right.
Every day. And if we didn't have a good communication dialogue between each other, more than likely we got divorced.
Right.
Or if you don't know how to talk about it, or you wanted to stay married, but you're not sexually satisfied, you'd go out and get it somewhere else and be hiding it.
Right. So,
you know, my whole mission is I want to stop all that. And I want to get people so comfortable with the sex conversation, understanding their bodies, understanding what makes them tick, understanding their God-given sexual desires, because that is put in there too.
Yes.
I truly believe Psalms 139 also covers what turns us on,
right?
And that we need to own that for ourselves. Once we own it,
right,
and this is who I am as a person, this is who God made me, I can have confidence in that, and then I can go and share it with the people that I love.
That's right. I love that. And just like you said, these are not things that are foreign to us, things that we're not familiar with hearing about, like you said, with the infidelity and with, you know, just being, you know, not being confident in that sexuality. There's also, I think, there's been two extremes. You either see some people who are just, they think of it, you're a spinster, you're with the cats, you're sitting in a rocking chair, you have, you know, you're just never going to be in any type of relationship. You have some who are there, and then you have some where you've seen so much, I don't know, I for a lack of a better word, sexploitation. Yeah. We have just seen it put out,
like,
there in the
over sexualized, where you
lyrics in the songs that we, you know, people are just out there wearing whatever, and you're just like, and you're just like, okay, I'm not there, but I'm not over here either. You know what I'm saying? So it's that gray area in between where I think, like you said, we haven't had that conversation enough for us to be comfortable, because people are just like, no, I don't want to be way out there, you know, putting everything out there, showing every part of my body and not leaving anything to the imagination. And then at the same time, I don't want to be wearing turtlenecks and scars all day either, because I'm trying to cover up every part of my body because, you know, I'm afraid. So it's trying to find that medium, trying to find you know, that gray area and where it's comfortable for people to have those conversations. So I think that that's important.
But it causes a lot of confusion because then you're like, where do I fit?
Exactly.
And not only where do I fit, but if I go over here, am I still going to be loved and approved by God? Am I still going to be acceptable in the end days when he, you know, calls people home? So because there's not this conversation, what has originally been created for good by God, because there's no comfortability in the conversation within the church, the followers in the church, people in the pews, they don't know which way to go.
Right.
They think God wants them to wear the scarf and to cover themselves up and not wear makeup and not wear jewelry. I mean, that's sort of the impression that we're led to believe. Oh, that must be reverence. That must be what, you know.
But
because the world has taken what God made and has twisted it so much, and we know we don't want that twisted version, but then where's like the happy medium? So you have a bunch of Christian wives, and I know this comes into other religions too. So
if
you're listening and you identify with one religion or the other, you've probably heard some of this from your upbringing, from your family, from your own doctrine. But, you know, most of us growing up, because we have this belief system that being sexual is dirty and not Christ-like, we then come into marriage with these committed people that we love and adore, and they love and adore us, especially our men.
Right.
They're like, okay, so now we're married and we get to do whatever we want. Woohoo! Let's do me some strip teases. Do me a lap dance. Like, you know, and then the wife is over here I can't even do that. I can't even look at my body naked.
Right.
You know? Because we're not trained. We're not trained to be comfortable naked. We're not trained to want to even desire that. So that's where the disconnect starts happening in the marriages from the wedding night a lot of times, because the men are like, oh, she's going to go from being lover of Jesus to being a freak in the bedroom. Like, how can we? Our mind can't even, like, we're so, like, we've got this programming that's dirty. No. And we got to say no for years to ourselves and our sexuality. Now we're married. You can't expect us to just unleash everything like overnight. Like, it's going to take some time for us to get comfortable and to discover and go on this discover journey of what do I like? I don't know. And then figure out, let's see how we can communicate, you know, that to the other person. And then, of course, give them the freedom to figure out their own stuff and then come back. And then we're not judging each other. Here's what I like. Here's what I like. And now let's bring it together and let's just have fun. Like, let's be adventurous in the bedroom and let's see like how much pleasure we can actually get from this experience of our lovemaking. Like, that's the whole goal right there, I think.
Right. I mean, and you definitely pose a valid point, you know, but I think it's also important that, you know, what you were talking about of, you know, just trying to be able to identify what pleases us. And a lot of that goes back to, we talk about self-care, we talk about self-love, and we talk about things like that. And I think it's important that it starts there as well, because in order for us to articulate to our significant other, you know, the things that we enjoy, we have to kind of know ourselves. And, you know, sometimes people look at that as a dirty thing too. Just, you know, exploring ourselves and knowing, how do we know what's pleasurable to us if we're constantly depending on someone else to bring that pleasure and we don't know where to find it within ourselves?
Yep. No. And
that's a tricky one.
That's something that's taught in the church. I mean, you're a reverend, right? So I'm sure you've heard, don't self-please yourself, because that opens up demonic forces. Like, right? Because you're prophetic, right? So for me, when I hear that, I'm like, how can something so good that God created on purpose for us to be able to put our hand down there and have over 8,000 nerve endings to bring our own self-pleasure and no one's around, just us, how can that be bad if God is a very intentional God So if you believe he was intentional in creation, don't you also think he was intentional with the creation of our body and everything, everything, how everything works?
Right.
So if you do believe that, then I believe that now is your time to rise into your own self-pleasure journey. And you can solidify this with scripture. There's nowhere in scripture that says it's wrong, even though some people have said that from the pulpit. But please go to the Bible, read it for yourself. And I know you're not going to find anything, but you do have to discover that for yourself. And you're going to feel such a sense of freedom in right. your spirit once you let go of some of these judgments and thought patterns that have made us carry around a lot of guilt and shame over the years. Right. And you'll be able to step away from guilt and shame and start to have your own pleasure journey, but in a sense of freedom in your spirit. And you're going to feel God saying, oh my gosh, like, I'm so happy she's finally here.
Yeah.
And she's finally able to experience her body in the way that I created it for her to experience. And same goes for men also.
Right. And I mean, it's important that we're able to have that conversation. And I think that's it too. You know, we've been so conditioned to think that it's taboo to even talk about it, but it's like, how do you learn? How do you come to an understanding of something if you don't ask the questions, if you don't take the time to say, okay, well, I'm not really clear on this. I'm not sure about this. Let me seek out somebody who could possibly assist me. No man is an island. We know that. And so there are certain things that we have to ask others about, ask for help, and start taking a little bit of a deeper dive. We hear a lot of that. We hear that word all, that's a buzzword now. You know, let's take a deeper dive. Okay, then let's peel back the onion. You know, we hear that a lot. And
well, that's what we do.
Right. Yes, we have to peel back. Okay, but how do we get to that point? You know, if we're fearful of, you know, saying that, okay, this is something that I have a question about or a concern about, or, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not thinking about it in a way that may not be a healthy way, but that's where we have people like yourself and platforms like these, where we can have these conversations openly and honestly, and to be able to say, okay, this is something that I struggle with, and you know, I need to know where to start.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's just a matter of people who have situations or have thoughts, you know, and they come to you, what is something that you know, start with, you know, or better question, how do they come to you? and you know, is it always, you know, under the guise of a relationship, or they come with you and just say, I'm struggling with some, you know, issues with identifying myself sexually.
Yeah, no, it's everything. Every single person comes to me for a different reason. And it's normally something they've seen on my social media.
Gotcha.
And I've put a voice to something that they've had a question on.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And them watching me talk about it is opening them up to thinking, wow, I might be able to believe in something that is healthier for me. And so then they'll reach out and say, hey, I've been watching you and I've been struggling with whatever it is. And I just want to tell you, thank you.
Yeah.
You helped me. You made me feel normal. You made me feel like I didn't have to judge myself and I didn't need right. to have other people judge me, that this is me. And I'm just going to choose to walk in it. And whoever wants to be on that ride with me is going to be along for the ride.
Right.
And you know, if you're not meant for me, then you're not meant for me. But I hear from single women, I hear from married couples. So it just really depends on the situation. Some people, Kim, they'll come to me because I'm so open about my relationship with Jesus and I'm combining Jesus and sex together. They've never seen that before.
Right.
And in their upbringing, because this was so uncomfortable, they decided to walk away from God.
Mm.
And they thought that in order to tune into their sexuality, that they had to do some sort of new age kind of a thing.
Right.
And so because I'm putting a voice to God, Jesus, and sex together, they're now opening themselves up and want to get some help on coming back into a relationship right. with God. So sometimes that's the work that I'm helping people with, and showing them that it's this combined thing that God originally made for it to go together, and that we can have freedom in both and not have to walk away from God.
Yeah. And that's wonderful, because we don't want to do that. We want to know, we want people to know that there's healthy, you know, there are a lot of things that we do in this world that start out on the guise of being something healthy and being something positive, and then we either go to the extreme, or we mishandle, or we misuse, and then it becomes something that it wasn't intended to be. And then because we see that, and it's saturated in our ear gates and our eye gates by the things that we are seeing and listening to in society, that we move away from that, and we forget that there is something pure and organic and authentic about it. And we just have to, you know, get back to that space. Yeah. You know, we have to go back to those foundational things that are going to help us to, you know, to be able to thrive in that space and not falter and do things, like you said, that cause that disconnect.
Yeah.
So it is, it's important for us to do.
Yeah, and like we have God's spirit in us. So if you have a question, just ask him, is this for me?
Yeah.
I believe a lot of these things, you know, in the sexual realm, I believe that while it might, one thing might be right for one person, it might not be right for the other. It's just like food. Right. You know, right? God says one person might be able to eat red meat, but another person might not be able to eat red meat. So I feel this way about sexual things too. So I always encourage people, go to God's word.
Yes.
Pray and ask God, is this for me? And if it is, help me to be able to release any kind of guilt or shame or anything off of me. Like, because it's been shackles on me, right? It feels like chains. So just release that so I can fully own it and experience like an abundant life.
That's it. It's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. But, you know, I think it all begins with acknowledgement. We have to get to that space where we acknowledge, because we can't resolve the things that are going on in our lives if we don't acknowledge that they're an issue or that they are a concern. And once we can acknowledge those things, then we can turn around and say, okay, now I'm ready and I'm open to receive that. Okay. So like I said, we are talking about sexual confidence. And so for those who are listening, how would we define, what's a good way to define what it means to be sexually confident?
Yes. Okay. So one thing I have to clarify is confident. There's a couple different kinds of confidence. There's regular confidence where you can go into the workplace and you know you can be confident in doing this job.
Right.
So that's one way of being confident. Another kind of confident is body confidence, where you can look in the mirror and you're like, damn.
Right.
I look good.
Right.
Whoever touches this is going to be
right.
So that's another thing, right? Body confidence. Sexual confidence, we've already been talking about it. We just didn't put a definition. It's where you learn what you like.
Yes.
So you got to spend time with yourself to figure out what that looks and feels like. Spend time with yourself. Does this feel good? Does this feel good? Like, does this feel good? I have a feather. Sometimes I'll be like, does this feel good? Like, do I like light touches, or do I like slaps? You know, like, do I want to be spanked? Like, I don't know, you know?
Right.
So these are just things that you can do by yourself, even today, like while you're listening to this. You can, all right, let's pause this. Let me get out a spatula. Let me get out a feather. Let me get out like some things around the house and just explore and be curious with your own body.
Right.
And then once you know that, now you can own it. Okay. So once you know, now you can own it. Once you own it, this is who I am. Right. That's an identity. Now that's when you can walk in that confidence. That's being sexually confident. It has everything to do with your sexuality, and that's going to look different for everybody, because like what turns on one person might not turn on the other person.
Right. I absolutely love that. And that makes sense to do that. And I've never thought to do that. Like you said, take a feather, take something. Do I like light touch? Do I like things a little more, a stronger hand? Those are important to know.
And then I think maybe I like a combo. Maybe I like a little bit of light and then slap, you know?
There you go. There you go. I mean, it's an honest question that deserves an honest answer.
And I think it's no wrong answer. There's
right. Right.
Okay. Your answer is right for you.
Right. Right. And that's why it's self-confidence and self-awareness. Yes. And so, because it has to do with that common denominator of it being us. It's ourselves. And I think it's also good during that time to know, you know, we talk about exploring our bodies and exploring the things that are pleasurable to us, that we also identify those things, especially those of us who have been, you know, on this rodeo ride for a long, long time, the things that you don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And again,
you
know? Like, own that too.
Yes.
Because when you own the no,
oh, yes.
In a relationship, you will not let anybody pressure you into doing anything. Right. That is a flat out no for you.
That's right.
So listen, sexual consent, that's a whole other topic, but sexual consent is necessary, not only in dating, but also in a committed boyfriend, girlfriend, and then also a marriage partnership.
Yes.
So always be asking yourself and your partner, is this okay? Do you like this? How does this feel? Can I do a little bit better? That's the kind of communication that is healthy, you know, in a relationship.
Yeah, and I think you said you hit the nail on the head with communication. That is so vital to be able to say, okay, yes, I like that, but not quite like that, or move over. Yeah, to me, it's just like, I gotta think about.
Well, I tell my husband, Chuck, a little to the left. Wait, right there. Wait, okay, I'll stop. Okay, now go in a circle. All right, now go side to side. So he's like, I am literally like the conductor in the bedroom. And you know what? Our men, they want us to be the conductor, because if we're not telling them, they're going to be over there like, ooh, I kick ass. I give the best whatever. And right. Then she might be faking it because she hasn't found her voice to say, I don't like that, or I do it better. And he's over there like, I'm the hero in the bedroom.
You know, like, not so much.
That's what guys want. Like, our men want to be the hero. So why don't we help them be the actual hero?
Right.
And be able to help them step in. And we do that by saying, this is what I want. Do this.
Right. And I think about it because it makes me think, I was going to say, I think about, you know, this morning I'm laying next to my husband and, you know, I had a little itch on my back. He was rubbing my back and I was like, it started to itch. And so he's scratching. Okay. I was like, okay, right there. Yeah. Move down a little bit. Oh, yeah. Now we're not embarrassed or ashamed to tell somebody when they're scratching our back. Yeah. Right there. Hit it right there. Okay. Right there. Your legs start shaking. You're like, oh yeah, right there. Yeah. We can do that when we're talking about itching. It's a different kind of scratch, but it's like, okay, it itches, or it's a sensation that I need to have, you know, addressed. And now right there in that spot, if we're comfortable with that, why can't we learn to be comfortable with our spouse and saying, like you said, a little to the left, roll it, you know, move your fingers there, do that.
Now hum and make a vibration.
All of that. And that comes with a level of comfort.
The itch. When you said you're describing an itch, but guess what? We are, as female, we also have an itch when we desire to have sex. But guess what? We're so used to our men leading in our finances, leading us with our kid. But and we're not allowing, like, we want them to be the leader in the bedroom too, but they also want us to be the leader, because they don't always know when we want it. You know, if they're always waiting for them to be ready, and then the lady's like, oh my God, I'm so like I need it. It's like an itch. You're like, ah, I'm so aroused right now. I just need my husband to do all the things. Why don't you just learn to voice that? Like, and actually be learning the one to initiate and approach and be like, dude, I am so like craving you right now. Like, let's go, you know?
And, you know, and what do we always say about men? Men are always looking to, you know, to be providers. They're looking to, you know, they want to, everything, they want to meet our needs. That's a need.
That pleases them.
It's a need. Just like you want them to meet your financial needs. Just like we want them, you know, they want to come in, they want to help, they want to assist, they want to be the man. But it's based on the need that we've expressed that we have.
Yep.
You know, when we want something, we say, you know, hey, I need that, you know, or, you know, some things they're going to know on autopilot. Some things we're going to have to tell them, you know, I like that bag over there. I want those shoes over there, you know what I'm saying? So we have to be just as forthright and say, okay, I would like that, but I want this right here. I want you to touch me here. And there's nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, he is meeting that need and you're both getting what you want.
Oh, you know it. Yeah. Like, it's the best. it is the best. And then another thing too, that I think this would probably be a good time to touch on, is that over the years, as we're together with our partners,
yes,
what turned us on like 5 years ago might not be the same thing that turns us on today. Right. So understand, man and woman, whoever's listening, your sexual body changes like every couple of years. So it's normal, especially as we age and our body's changing and hormones, and maybe we've gone through the change, or maybe we're going through the change, or maybe our periods are crazy and they're painful and we've got endometriosis. I mean, who knows, like all these different things that can come up, right? So over the years, it's really important that, yes, you might've had this conversation in the beginning of your marriage, like, but here's what I like, you know, I've spent some time with myself, here's what I like,
right?
But then have you also spent some more time with yourself every couple of years, just making sure that is what you still like and what still brings you to climax? And then are you having a conversation like, things have changed, I don't really like it like this anymore. Could you mind trying it this way? Because I notice on myself, this, I kind of like this a little bit more, right?
That's it.
So these are the conversations that we continue to have over the years. And again, you're owning your sexual confidence at every single stage and phase of your life.
Yeah. I mean, and that's huge. It's huge that you said that, because so many people are going through so many different things. Just like you said, the change, menopause, the end. Okay. It was like, and that's the end of the show. No, right there. I mean, right there, there are so many things that, you know, women are going through with perimenopause, with menopause, so many changes to the body. You know, we have had so many changes. So, you know, I, you know, personally, you know, had a huge weight loss. And so getting used and you know, getting used to this body, I had to have surgery to remove excess skin. So that was new. My body is new. So it was, you know, and that was something that both my husband and I had to explore. My husband, you know, is a cancer survivor. There are some things that changed in his body that I had to be aware of and had to say, okay, we have to make some changes and adjustments here, you know, changes in my body. There are some changes and adjustments we had to make. And then, you know, factor in age and everything else. Now we had to say, okay, now collectively we have to come together and say, okay, what's going to work for both of us? And, you know, and at sometimes when you're having, you know, any type of surgeries, or you're having any type of procedures, or you're going through certain things, sometimes time is what you need, you know, and, you know, just love me. We're going to have a cuddle session. It's just going to be about cuddling.
That's where my mind went to.
Doesn't have to be about penetration or anything like that. What can we do to satisfy each other in other ways?
Yeah.
I think that that's important too, to have that conversation.
Like, you know, when you lose the emotional connection, then there's definitely a disconnect with the physical part. So no matter what age and stage that you're going through, as long as you're talking and you're having a lot of non-sexual touching, holding hands, holding each other's face, you know, telling each other how much you love each other and that you're still committed to each other after all these years, and that you're still the one that I love, and you're still the one that turns me on, and you're still like, I still find you attractive. Like, you're still voicing all of that. And yeah, like you said, it's never going to be like this perfect thing.
Right.
It never is. Like, my husband, he went through a period where he could get hard and then he would go soft. And for me, at first, I took it personal, not understanding that it was a phase.
Right.
In his getting older times.
Right.
Now that we understand that, and thank God I am trained in sexology, so I knew what we could do, we were able to implement a couple of things. And now it's like amazing.
Yeah.
And his confidence built up again, because he started to lose his confidence thinking, oh man, like, I'm not going to be able to please her anymore. And I feel less of a man and stuff like that. So like, our men go through so much too, and we do have to learn different ways to support them emotionally and physically when these things come up. Yes. Don't make fun of them. Understand it's a total normal part of the life. And let's just figure out, like, do we need to go get, I don't know what I can say on here, but a C ring, you know what I mean?
Right.
Slide that thing down and it just keeps it hard for a long time.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things that we could do. And you just have to have like that sense of openness.
Yes.
And willingness to figure out new ways to connect.
Yeah. And that's important. And not to, you know, step in our own way with regards to sexuality. And I love that you said that it is just as much an emotional thing than it is a physical thing. And just like you said, if it just becomes only strictly physical and you're taking the emotion out of it, then, you know, then
honestly, it's no longer happening. I feel like I might as well be by myself. Like if there's no emotion and there's no like soul connectedness to my partner and like spiritual connectiveness, I'm like, I might as well just be pleasing myself. Cause like, you know what I mean?
Right. What is the point? What
You're
is the point?
And they're doing like, you don't even feel like you want to be here.
Right. It is important. It's important. I think it's important for us first to, you know, like you said, establish that self love, that, you know, being able to identify within ourselves, this is what I want. This is what feels good to me. And then able to express that to others. And that's where that confidence comes from. And I love that we talk about different aspects of, you know, that confidence and in body, because that's something that we're seeing a lot of now too. I think about so many of the procedures. People are having their lips done. They're having their eyebrows done. They're getting tummy tucks and Brazilian butt lifts and all these other things. They are changing their bodies because there is something in their mind, something psychologically that is telling them that my body is not what it looks like. And you know, what's the perfect body? What does the perfect body look like? What is this shape that everyone is trying to get? You know, and you have some people who still get those types of procedures done. And then they look at themselves and they're still like, okay, well, no, they really should have. They could have taken a little more up here. They could have done a little more. So if you're never going to be in a space where you're satisfied or comfortable with the skin that you're in, how is someone else ever going to be able to satisfy you when you can't even satisfy yourself?
Yeah, it's like you're not accepting who you really are. And so how could someone else accept who you really are? Because you're not even really bringing your real self, you know? It's like filters. I see all these filters. I stopped using filters because it was damaging my own psyche. I saw my real self in the mirror, and then like I was trying to keep up with the filters, and I'm like, this doesn't even feel good anymore. So I stopped using the filters. Another thing that comes up with filters is like people are using them, and then they're using them on the dating apps and stuff, and then they go meet each other in person. They're like, oh my God, like you don't even look anything like any of your social media. So we're out here lying to people.
Yeah.
And lying to people, seriously.
It's disturbing because think about some of the social media where you see people who look one way and they put on makeup and they're a totally different person after they put all that makeup and stuff onto their faces. And I think about it, but the next morning when you have to peel all that stuff off your face and you look at that person's like, ah, like, who are you? And where's the person who I came in here with? You know, we have gotten so far removed from who we are and hiding behind the facade of makeup and filters and things that we've lost our own identity. And that's something that's concerning to me, you know, because how are we going to get that confidence back if it's hidden behind a pound of makeup? You know,
comparing ourselves to other people. I love social media. Most of my business these past 10 years, or actually over 10 years, has been built on social media. But a huge part of me loves it, right? But then I also see like the negative stuff with the comparison and trying to keep up with the Joneses and all that kind of thing. And I feel like if social media was taken away, like just like all of a sudden it's like, boom, it's gone. Yes, we might have a panic attack for like several days.
Several. You
know? But we would learn to figure out how to love ourselves again and not be comparing ourselves to other people. I feel like we'd start to own Psalms 139. I'm wonderfully and perfectly made in God's sight. He on purpose knit me together in my mother's womb. Everything about me is on
purpose. Yes.
And I feel like we would have an easier time owning that, and we'd have less opportunities of, you know, not being able to have our confidence. I feel like we'd be more confident without all that comparison and the filters and
right.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's done a huge amount of damage to people.
It has. Right, all of us. I think we've all now, I don't think any of us have not been touched by it in some way. And even those who are not on social media, there are other ways, there are other things that they're seeing on, whether it be on television, you know, there are so many things that, right, billboard, music videos, all kinds of things. There are so many other ways in which,
that's actually, you know, true that you've run that, because that was me back in the 80s. MTV, you know, I was like watching Paula Abdul, and she had like the best ass. I wanted her. I was like, oh, man. And the way that she danced. Yeah. So you're right. There's been comparison for a very, very, very long
time. I mean, fashion, everything. Yeah, I think
it just amplified it probably.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that confidence, like you said, that, you know, it comes from within. It has to start from within, and because there are so many, you know, people are trying to put us in boxes. They're trying to put us in certain spaces. They're trying to, you know, they make the clothes fit a certain way, and they try to make them, they try to make the clothing to fit a certain shape or a certain size. So you have to look a certain way, and you have to be a certain. It's too demanding on our psyche to try to fit into these molds. And so we have to get back to, like you said, that space of self-love, that space of saying, okay, this is who I am, and I'm confident where I am right now. And I don't want to have to, and I don't have to change anything to be that person. So it's going to take some healing. It's going to take some time.
It does take a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially depending on how many years that you've twisted and changed yourself to please other people.
Yes. Yes. That's going to be the huge thing. It's going to be, you know, where do we go from here? Yeah. So let's recap a few things here, because I want to make sure that, you know, when we talk about that sexual confidence, what are the steps that we need to be taking in order to get into that space? Okay. And we talked about that, first of all, you know, starting with self. What is something that is pleasing to me? What is something that I find pleasurable, and how can, you know, can I get to a space where I can articulate that, and that we're asking for help if we need that. Okay. And then tell them where to go from there.
So yeah, again, once you know, and you've gone on that path of self-discovery, and you've fully owned who you are, then you're voicing it. That's where true confidence comes from, is when you use your voice.
That's it. And then it's a matter of, like you said, it comes to the relationship with whoever you're having that relationship with, being able to have a conversation with them. Now, is it common that in your practice that other person has to be brought in, or do they usually come as a couple, or does one come first and then, you know, the other one comes in at a later time? What typically happens there?
I would say, like, percentage wise, it's more popular
for a
female to be more comfortable raising her hand first. I just think that women are more open to doing internal work.
Yeah.
And men seem to be a little shy, you know, not always, but for the most part, they were in an atmosphere growing up where I'm a man and I can figure it out, and I don't need help. I don't need no one to tell me what to do, and blah, blah,
right.
blah. Right. This one movie, my husband's always joking. He's like, oh, I'll just rub some dirt in it, I'll be fine.
right. He must know my husband.
He grew up like that. Men don't cry. They don't share their feelings. They don't go and say that they need mental help or whatever, you know? So I think a lot of times it's easier for women to raise their hands, even though this is still a very sensitive subject and embarrassing and awkward. It still comes up for females. They're like, man, it took me like 6 months for me to even tell you I needed help because it's that uncomfortable, you know? So a lot of times it's a female. Sometimes it's the male, though, that reaches out to me, and he's the one that's like, I need this. And right. she can't figure out what's happening as to why she can't give it. She wants right. to, so we're coming to hire you. And then, you know, so sometimes he'll come on first for a couple of sessions, then she'll come. So it really does just depend on the situation.
Right. And
sometimes a couple comes together. It just really, right. really depends.
Right. But I love it. It all, like you said, starts with conversation. It starts with being able to say, okay, this is something that we're willing to work at together collectively, so that way we're boosting each other's confidence.
Yeah.
You know, because that's important too. You know, it's not just about boosting one's confidence. The other may not voice it, but they may be having confidence issues as well. So in strengthening your confidence, you're strengthening your partner's confidence as well.
I agree. And look, like Kim, we all can do this stuff by ourselves.
Right.
I can Google this stuff. if I knew something was wrong in my sex life, I could just Google it. But you know what? I Googled it for years. Why am I sexless? Okay. All of these different things, all these tips came up. I tried them all by myself for 12 years. No sex. I got the books. I went to counseling. You know, I took my husband, dragged him to couples marriage retreat.
Right.
All these different things. I tried so many different things and it wasn't working. So look, why do you want to reach out to Heather Tucker? This is why, okay? Because you could do it by yourself, but why would you want to do it by yourself if you've already tried and nothing's working? Do you want to continue to live in that frustration mm-hmm. like for years like I did? Or do you want to hire someone who's been there and understands
right.
and has gotten to the other side and now has a huge story, impactful story to share, and can help you to shortcut that process? That's why you hire somebody like myself, is if you right. are done, you're done trying it by yourself and you're like, I can't. This right. is lonely. No one understands me. I feel like I'm dying inside. I feel like this caged butterfly that needs to learn how to unleash herself sexually, and I don't know what to do. That's when you reach out to someone like myself. That's mm-hmm. when you invest in someone like myself, because I know I'm going to get you to where you want to go.
There you go. And that is a wonderful segue to tell people how they can get in contact with you if they are struggling with just that type of situation.
You just have to go to my site. It is www.sexcoachheather.com. And you can click on book a session. Your first 30 minutes are free. So mm-hmm. I do like to do that initial call just to get to know each other and see if we'd be a good fit, you know, to work together. Also, you can book me for your next event. So I do a lot of standing up on stages at female conferences, singles conferences, marriage conferences, retreats, all of those types of things. You guys can reach out for me for information on that as well.
Awesome. So that is www.sexcoachheather.com. And she can does a 30-minute free exploratory conversation with you. And then you can also book her for events to come out and speak to couples, whether it be, I guess, at your church. Now, do you do things virtually and in person?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So I have wonderful ways of getting in contact with you. We've scratched the surface here because we want people just to start the conversation. That's what it's all about. That's what platforms like these are all about, being able to talk about ways in which we can, you know, navigate in this wonderful space that we're in, and that we can create our peaceful existence, that we can cope. That's what that acronym stands for, create our peaceful existence. We want to figure out how we can cope and how we can better, you know, make more positive relationships, not just for ourselves and not just in our communities, you know, but for others as well. We want it to be, you know, a collective. And so, Heather, I want to say thank you for being here with us, for talking about this wonderful topic, and for, you know, at least, like I said, peeling back a few of those layers for us so that way we can begin to heal and can begin to be in a positive space. Okay, now before we go, as I say with all of my guests, or as I ask with all of my guests, tell us how you are living in this now. How are you living in this space that we're in right now?
Living in my confidence?
In your now. How are you living in your now? Yes. And if that
now, you know, I've never been asked that question. So Heather, how am I living in my now? Well, you know what? How I'm living in my now is is just staying really in tune with God and his voice.
Yes.
For many years in my entrepreneurship, I was listening to other coaches' voices, and I was blocking out my intuitive next step. So now, while I still work with mentors and coaches, because you need to, if you're right. In business, you got to work with coaches. There's always someone ahead of you.
That's right.
But I will use their information. I will use their suggestions. And now I will take it back and I will sit with it and yeah. I'll journal about it. And I will ask God, is this right for me? Is this right for me? So like we do that with our sexual confidence, we have to do that with our business confidence. So in my now, that is who I am becoming and what I'm stepping more.
Yeah.
Into. And guess what? I've noticed that when I lead with heart and intuitiveness, I'm getting more bookings. I'm getting more podcast interviews because people are now hearing and seeing me more than they're hearing someone else's voice.
It's about creating our voices. And that starts from us being a small child, you know, working in the childcare industry. That's one thing that we talk about. We talk about the importance of having a voice and never taking the voice away from someone. Because sometimes when we're in that position of nurturing, we want to protect. And so we begin to speak from, don't do that. Don't touch it. Instead of giving them the voice and the vocabulary that they need. So it is so important that we don't lose our voice. And that if we have lost our voice, that we try to take steps to rediscover it again. So that way people know how we feel about things. We want people to be empathetic. We want people to hear our story. We want to be heard. We want to be respected and valued. And we can't do that without our voice. So I think that is something that is huge. That's a huge takeaway in all of this too. Speak on those things that are pleasing to you, that bring you joy, that you desire, and you'll have those desires of your heart, right?
Oh my God, I love that so much.
You'll have your the desires of your heart. It's biblical. Very good. Very good. So, like I said, in closing, is there any parting words that you want to leave for our listeners with regards to sexual confidence, something that they can take with them and start taking those steps today?
Well, first of all, Kim, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For reaching out and just the relationship that you and I have been developing on social media. It's been
yes.
So much fun, and I'm so happy to be with you and your audience. I would just say, look, if you've never spent time with yourself, now you talked about the now
yes,
your time. Don't walk away from this podcast. Oh, it was just another podcast. I'll think about that later. This is Take Action Podcast.
That's right.
You need to turn this off. And you need to spend 20 to 30 minutes minimum, bare minimum, whether it's in the bath, whether it's on your back, on your bed,
right,
wherever you feel comfortable. Some people like it in their car. Wherever you feel comfortable, safe, where you can just get naked and really take yourself on that path of self-discovery, put on some nice music, something that gets you in the vibe, in the zone of being sexual. And ask yourself, is this okay? Is this okay? Does this feel good? And you're touching different parts of your body. And just be in tune with yourself. Invite God into that moment. And I know you're going to walk away, wow, that was incredible. And you're going to feel so much more in tune with the center of who you are once you take that time. So I hope and encourage you that you do empower yourself in this way. Take those action steps. Walk away feeling more empowered as who you are and who you were created to be all along.
All right. I absolutely love that. Know, Heather, that you are part of the How Now family now. You're always welcome back. We always say that, you know, what's happening right now, 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 years from now is, you know, is maybe something different. So you're always welcome to come back and let us know what's happening in your now. So again, you're a part of the family and we look forward to having you back. And we wish you the best in all that you do moving forward from here. All right, from right now into wherever life takes you. So thanks again so much for being with us. Okay. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until I see you all the next time, I say peace. Okay.